We are talking stem cells on the show today with Dr. Joy Kong. So Joy Kong, MD, is a UCLA-trained triple board certified physician by the American Board of Psychiatry and Neurology, American Board of Addiction Medicine, and the American Board of Anti-Aging and Regenerative Medicine. She's the president of Chara Health in Los Angeles, California, where she specializes in stem cell therapy, peptide therapy, ketamine therapy, as well as other integrative modalities to enhance overall health and combat chronic diseases. Dr. Kong founded American Academy of Integrative Cell Therapy, where she provides training to other physicians on stem cell therapy and is a published author in scientific journals and an originator of a stem cell clinical study on traumatic brain injury. Dr. Kong is the founder and CEO of Chara Biologics, a company dedicated to providing cutting-edge regenerative medicine products in the United States and the global market, and formulated a highly comprehensive stem cell injectable product as well as a stem cell skin cream, Chara Omni, which she sent me and I'm obsessed with, and we're going to talk about that at the end of the episode. And yes, I do have a discount on it if you want to try it, and I can't recommend it enough. I will be talking about this on my social media platforms because it is that good. So we'll link that up in the show notes, and the coupon code on that is Coach Tara. Dr. Kong was recognized for her contribution to the field of regenerative medicine and was awarded the Top Doctor of the Year in Stem Cell Therapy, as well as Stem Cell Doctor of the Decade in 2021 by the prestigious International Association of Top Professionals. Dr. Kong's memoir, Tiger of Beijing, has garnered tremendous interest and was named 2020 Book of the Year and showcased at Times Square. So, wowie wow, we got a superstar on the show for you guys today. And she just breaks down, like, pretty much anything I threw at her in regards to questions about stem cells in such a concise and potent and knowledgeable way. This episode is so information-packed, super clear. One thing I really appreciate about Dr. Kong is that she is very evidence-based. And she says in the episode you hear, she's like, well, my ego is not so big that I think my opinion matters more than the data, you know? So she's a wealth of information, and you're going to learn a lot about stem cells today. So if you just want to learn about them, or maybe send this episode to someone that you know who could use some sort of healing, this is a really great resource for that. So let's go ahead and dive in. Here is Dr. Joy Kong. Okay, so Joy, holy smokes, like, stem cells are your cup of tea. From, you know, we talked about before, you've been doing all sorts of longevity, chronic disease, you know, helping people with all sorts of things. And you've really, like, become standout on the topic of stem cells. So I really wanted to pick your brain on this one, because there's a lot of confusion and there's a lot of myths, I would say, that I also have heard that I hear you dispelling. So just to start it out, in case people aren't familiar, or just as a very, you know, clear summary, like, what are stem cells and what are their applications? Why would you get stem cells?
Really, thank you, Tara. So a really easy way to visualize stem cells is to imagine what you were when you were first fertilized, right? As a fertilized egg, that is the quintessential stem cell. That is the stem cell of all stem cells for you. So from that single cell, it has ability and intelligence, the capability to divide and differentiate, you know, forming different kinds of cells. So each step of the way, most of those cells are still stem cells. So they're just different kinds of stem cells. So stem cells have a whole gradient of how capable they are. The more they divide and differentiate, the more they lose capabilities and gain more function. So at the very, very end of the stem cell, the hierarchy of stem cells is the organ-specific stem cells. So let's say in your liver, you have liver stem cells. So if your liver is damaged, those stem cells can divide and become a liver cell. So that's the last stage of a stem cell. But Okay. Everything in between are stem cells. So when people say stem cell therapy, it could get really confusing, because there's not one thing called stem cell. There are many, many kinds of stem cells.
Okay. And then why, you know, in case people aren't familiar, like, what are some applications of stem cells? Why do people get them? What are they trying to do?
What does it not do?
All right.
So research has been so, so beautiful from all around the world, because people are desperate for solutions, right? All these chronic conditions, if we don't know how to heal these people, where stem cells can offer these kind of early clear blueprints on how a cell should be functioning. It's like giving you clear messaging, especially if you're getting the cells from a, you know, younger sources. You can get stem cells from your own, but your own stem cells have degraded to some degree. So the messages, you know, the ability to send the right signals may have been compromised. But if you put younger cells in there, then you're getting these very early uncontaminated signals. So they can signal the body to balance the immune system, to calm the inflammation, to break down scar tissue, to kill off tumor cells, to form more vasculature, or to kill microbes. There's so many functions.
Wow.
I'm actually only talking about the functions of the mesenchymal stem cells, because that's the most popular one right now. But there's so many different kinds. There are hematopoietic progenitor cells, which can form your entire bloodline. So these are the cells, stem cells, that can form all your blood cells. So that's another function. So different kinds of stem cells can have very different functions. But the ones I mentioned, since mesenchymal stem cells is the most popular, is the most widely used cells right now, that I'm just talking about how they work. Why do they work? Because they have all these capabilities, and they can also signal your local stem cells to tell your local stem cells it's time to wake up and do your work, do your job. You know, don't just sit there, let the organ stay damaged, right? You start to divide, make more of yourselves. And then mesenchymal stem cells can tell the immune system, come grab these damaged cells, take them away, so you can make room for new, you know, fresh, you know, healthy cells. Yeah. So these are some of the reasons. That's why it has such a wide range of applications. The most obvious, well, initially people were doing stem cells as bone marrow transplant, and then that can replenish your entire blood supply. But they also found that it's extremely powerful in autoimmune conditions. So autoimmune diseases, you know, just immune dysfunction, I still think of it as a signaling, like a faulty signaling. Your body just are not sending the right signals. So your immune system is overly active, start attacking yourself. And now you get these cells who's giving you clear instructions and signals. All of a sudden, it doesn't have to be overactive. It becomes balanced. If your immune system is underbalanced, is underactive, you know, that's that you cannot mount enough attack on infections and, you know, pathogens, the stem cells can boost your immune system. So it gives you this balance. So autoimmune diseases has tremendous evidence in you know, whether it's lupus, rheumatoid arthritis, or psoriasis, or multiple myeloma. Or, you know, they're, you know, they're 122 autoimmune diseases. So incredible evidence. And then of course, for musculoskeletal repair, that's kind of like the bread and butter of stem cell therapy. You know, that's okay. You have a knee problem, you know, shoulder injury. Okay. That's, you know, that's what's being used the most. And that's what a lot of people, think about when they think about stem cell therapy. But really, you know, we can't use the word treat different conditions, because it's not FDA approved for treating a particular condition. So you can't say those words, but has it been helpful to help people function better and do better when these people have various conditions? Yes, they have. I can quote clinical studies that have shown benefits, but I can't say in our clinics or, you know, in that we are treating particular conditions, but in what conditions have they been found helpful for? Any organ damage you can think of, lung, you know, COPD, asthma, there's a lot of evidence, pulmonary fibrosis, liver diseases, heart diseases, kidney diseases. I've treated people, you know, helping people to improve their fertility, helping with testicular health, brain health, really. So any organ issues, some are more challenging than others, especially for the eye. I think it's a little bit more challenging. There are a lot of things that you can do to enhance the therapy, the results. But yeah, some tissues are more difficult. This is not a miracle cure. Maybe one day the stem cell therapy will have been developed so, you know, it's so advanced that we can cure so many things, you know, like that, that will be the day. I hope I live to see that day. It's rapidly growing, but right now we can help the body to be less inflamed, to regenerate better. And in a lot of conditions, yes, people are recovering. I've treated a person with lupus and the lupus marker completely went back to normal. So really that was almost 8 years ago. So that means, you know, you make your own conclusion, right? This is somebody that struggled with lupus for quite a while and was on all kinds of medications. So the hope is there, but to what degree and for what condition, it varies. But it definitely, there's plenty of evidence it can reduce inflammation, and inflammation is a driver of almost all chronic diseases.
Okay, you mentioned these mesenchymal stem cells, like, so as opposed to what? What's the difference and what does that mean?
So when the fetus forming, there's ectoderm, mesoderm, and endoderm. So there are different germ layers that form different type of tissue. So mesoderm forms your muscle, bones, and, you know, the fat, and et cetera. So these are cells that happen to, not only that they are in this germ layer, but what's interesting is that they have this very special role in the body where they are everywhere that you have blood vessels. So anywhere you have blood vessels, these cells are huddling around the blood vessels and they are sensing what's going on in the blood and they're sensing what's going on in the neighborhood, you know, the outside of the blood vessel. So they have the role of almost like a conductor in the symphony of regeneration. So they're orchestrators, you know, they are the, you know, architects or the police for the body. And they sense what's going on in the blood. And sometimes, you know, don't ask me how they know and when they do, but sometimes they will squeeze themselves into the blood vessels to search for upstream signal. So if there's a strong signal somewhere, you know, calling for help, they will squeeze themselves into the blood vessels and swim upstream to get to where the signal is. This is where the beauty is, right? The intelligence. This is why I'm so excited about this.
Yeah.
Because we're talking about intelligence. So these cells will find where the problem is and then get themselves out of the blood vessels. And they start sending out all kinds of signals. Okay, so this area needs a lot of help. So there may be a lot of mesenchymal stem cells gathered at that problem area, right? And then they will send signals to the body, secrete things that can get into the blood to talk to the immune system. So you're all of a sudden your immune system is sending all these white blood cells and, you know, different types of immune cells to help break down damaged tissue, you know, killing them off or carrying them away, you know, carrying off the debris. And then they can signal the local stem cells to start regenerating and replenish, right? Replace what the void that's been left. Yeah.
So for anybody who's heard me say on a podcast before that I talk to my cells and that I see my cells as sentient beings that I'm building a relationship with, I probably sound a little less crazy right now, don't I? Because they are. Look at that. Like, that is insane. Such innate intelligence. Wow. Okay. So these mesenchymal stem cells are those cells that you just talked about, right? Like they're these, the architects. I love that word. Whoa.
Yeah. They're everywhere. But the problem is that as we go older, they get less and less. So the statistic I like sharing with people is that when you were born, every one in 10,000 cells are these mesenchymal stem cells.
Wow.
And then when you reach your teenage years, it becomes one in 100,000. So from 1 to 10,000 to 1 to 100. And when you reach your 40s, becomes 1 in 400,000. And when you reach your 80s, becomes 1 in 2 million.
Whoa. So
it's like falling off a cliff.
It's
less and less. Yeah. If you remember how your wounds heal, right? If you had cut in your hand, how fast it healed when you were a kid versus now, that you will, you know, that's a visible evidence of how your regenerative potential is lagging when you get older.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. So that kind of hits, there's a couple more questions I have on this because I've heard, you know, you hear floating around and I've heard you address this, oh, your own stem cells are far superior to someone else's, right? So you don't want somebody else's, you don't want this foreign object in your body. You want your own stem cells. So can you address that a little deeper on this note?
This is a funny example. I actually gave a lecture at a major conference, and the doctor presenting before me was saying the same thing, because he was doing a person's own stem cells, bone marrow and fat derived. And he was saying, you have to use your own, and that's superior. And then I came on the stage after him showing all the clinical studies comparing umbilical cord stem cells with a person's own stem cells. Why it's actually superior in all kinds, you know, just every factor that you are measuring, whether or not is how many anti-inflammatory factors they secrete, the growth factor profile, how many generations the cells have left, how long their telomeres are, how much they can differentiate in different directions, how neuroprotective they are. And all these measures shows that umbilical cord cells are superior. And then they're also safer, because when they put umbilical cord derived MSCs, that's mesenchymal stem cells, they put those MSCs next to cancer cells, this really severe form of brain cancer, glioblastoma. Putting it next to the cancer cell, either on a petri dish or on a live animal's body, they tested both.
Oh, wow.
They put fat derived MSCs next to the cancer cell. Guess what? The cancer kept growing, getting bigger. But if they put umbilical cord derived stem cells in both the petri dish and the live animal's body, the cancer start to shrink and go away. That's how drastically different they are. I call it cellular dementia. It's almost like the cells have lost some of their marbles, right? They forgot that, wait, that's a cell that doesn't belong. There's something really wrong with this cell. So I better send the signal to tell the cells to die, because they can't. The anti-cancer property of the stem cells come from their ability to secrete different signals to tell the cell, the cancer cell, to die. You know, different ligand to trigger them into programmed cell death. But when your cells got older, somehow with all the toxic buildup, you know, all the you know, the oxidative damages, everything your cell that's going through with you in life, because they've been with you, these cells have been with you since you were born. So no matter what your age is, even if you're 20 years old, that's 20 years of toxins and oxidative damages. And I think of it as messing with the signals, 20 years of messing with the original blueprint, then you're not able to mount an attack on bat cells or promote regeneration in a more effective way. But if you give the earlier cells that still have the intact, clear, you know, high def blueprint, all of a sudden your body realizes, oh my God, okay, I'm getting the right signals. Now I can repair. Now I can kill off the cancer.
So what is the logic? Like, why are people saying that your own, what's their reasoning behind that?
That's where stem cell therapy started, is by using your own. You know, there could be some kind of fear using somebody else's, but we're also not using early cell types, younger cells, umbilical cord cells. The reason umbilical cord cells is so beautiful, I'm not saying that's the end all be all, but it is the best we have right now. So, you know, the most available and also the most effective that we have. The reason it's so beautiful to obtain cells from the umbilical cord is that the umbilical cord cells is so young that it's younger than the baby's stem cells. Because when the baby was forming, part of the, you know, the younger cells were trapped in the umbilical cord. So the baby kept developing, getting older, but the cells were actually stuck in a younger stage.
Wow.
So they're in between embryonic stem cell, right? That's a very, very early cell clusters, and the baby stem cell. So they're in between, and they retained a lot of the potency of the embryonic stem cells, but they don't have the potential to cause this cancer, this particular tumor called teratoma, which is uncontrolled growth of all kinds of tissue. So when genetically, you know, there are all kinds of reasons for teratoma to form, but the bottom line is, when a baby is fully formed, the cells have gone through the test of time and the test of making a full human. Did you realize how many you know, half formed humans end up being, you know, miscarried, right? All these miscarriages. A lot of them is because of faulty signals, the DNA, and, you know, things are not going right. So the, you know, you can't form a healthy baby. It's not viable. So it's gone. But by the time you can form a fully formed, fully functioning, healthy baby, these cells are good. So you've shown, you've proven, right? End product. So what mid-stage product is why it's good? So because you already formed a baby. So they're potent and they're also safer. So they don't have the potential of causing problems like embryonic stem cells. So, you know, people don't realize that, you know, now these cells have so much capability of adapting to a new person's body. If you, let's say between two people, if they want to do bone marrow transplant, which is a form of stem cell therapy. So you're just getting a lot of stem cells from the bone marrow. But between two adults, you have to match them as perfectly as you can. But even perfectly matched, which are these, you know, HLA markers that, you know, that's determined to be the major causes of rejection. Even a perfectly matched donor can still cause rejection in the recipient.
Oh, but wow.
Because umbilical cord blood as a form of transplantation, if you do not match at all, there's no matching. And you give it, umbilical cord blood is very similar in composition to the bone marrow. It's very similar. It's just floating around the blood in the bone marrow. So it's just very similar. So when you transplant umbilical cord blood, which is, you know, from the cord, right, when the baby's born, so it's very, very young, the chance of rejection is way less than a perfectly matched bone marrow transplant.
Oh,
that
wow.
Tells you how different younger cells behave compared to older cells. Yeah.
Wow. Okay. And then speaking of umbilical cord blood, I saw you talking about how Tony Robbins' book, was it Life Force? I read that book a while back. And, and you know, I can't help but appreciate Tony, you know, but I there were certain things where I'm like, okay, like that was a good kind of intro to that. But I saw you addressing just one thing about these mesenchymal cells in umbilical cord blood. And he was saying, I believe that there were a lot. And can you, kind of address that? Can you share about that?
Because, you know, like I just mentioned, umbilical cord blood is very similar in composition to the bone marrow. So in bone marrow, the amount of mesenchymal stem cells compared to the totality of cells is 0.001 to 0.01%. So that's how much mesenchymal stem cells is there. You know, people can look up on literature, you know, that's just the data. So how much of mesenchymal stem cells can you get from cord blood? Even if you concentrate the hell out of it, you know, you can get to 1%. I'm so proud of you, you know.
Right. And so it's the tissue, the umbilical cord tissue, that's so high in these cells, correct?
Full of mesenchymal stem cells. But doesn't mean that umbilical cord blood is not helpful. It's been used therapeutically, you know, for a very long time. Actually, it was it's been around longer than the cord tissue cells. That's why it's more, you know, more people know about it. But the cord tissue, people realize, oh my God, it's full of mesenchymal stem cells. So what's different about what I'm doing is that I recognize the beauty of using umbilical cord blood cells, but I also recognize the fact that it doesn't have enough mesenchymal stem cells. But there are companies who only sell mesenchymal stem cells from the cord tissue, but then you're kind of not taking advantage of all these amazing other cells in the cord blood. So the product I developed is combining the two. So the cord blood, which is full of hematopoietic progenitor cells, endothelial progenitor cells, fibroblasts, mononuclear cells, which are primitive immune cells, all those are fantastic. Help you heal, you know, in different ways. But then I also get a lot of the mesenchymal stem cells. So you kind of get the best of both worlds.
Yeah, I can tell you're very evidence-based. You're very data-backed. You know, you guys can check out her YouTube channel and just go on a whole tirade. You're really to the point, but I picked up the gist that you're like evidence, 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 you know.
That's right.
Yeah, which is very appreciated, right? It's like, please show that this actually works before I throw down some coin on this, right?
No, I think it just comes from, not, I'm not, I don't, I mean, I can't trust, I can have opinions. Everybody can have opinions.
Right.
I don't have that big of an ego thinking my opinion is gonna worth that much.
Right.
Let me find out what people have been studying for years and years.
Exactly. Yeah. And so I don't know if off the, on the fly, I know you speak on this a lot, but are there any particular evidence or studies that you found that were very compelling in terms of stem cell research that you can recall off the top of your head?
Well, some are really fun. Like a one, it's ingenious. It's on osteoarthritis. Well, actually, on bone deterioration. So these are people who needed bilateral knee replacement because they were using too much steroid. So their knees
Okay.
basically were going dead. So the bone, everything deteriorated. So they were told that they had to have knee replacement. For both, right? So some of these people are not even that old. They're fairly young. So what they did, since they need replacement for both of their knees, they did an experiment that they divided
Wow.
people, like each person by half. One knee
Wow.
is getting surgery, getting a total knee replacement. The other knee, they injected some stem cells. And this one, they didn't even use what I believe is more potent, which is umbilical cord stem cells. They used, I think, bone marrow stem cells. So they divided people by half, each person by half. So there are 30 knees that got knee replacement and 30 knees got stem cell injections. So out of the 30 knees that got knee replacement, six of those knees needed revision surgery, which means that something did not go right. They had to go in and, correct it. And then out of the 30 knees that got stem cell injections, only one ever needed knee replacement.
Wow.
So that, this is like, it's like a huge alarm, right? This people
Right.
should be paying attention.
Right.
What does that mean? Do you need a knee replacement? You owe yourself to try something
Yeah.
to save your knee.
Wow, thanks for sharing that. And then that makes me think of, speaking of like actually getting stem cells, why not go to Mexico or Central America or South America and get stem cell treatment for way cheaper?
Yeah, you can, first of
Right.
all, right? Anybody can do whatever they want. So there are certain concerns you should pay attention to. One is that just, every location I know, there may be exceptions. I don't know any exceptions, but every location I know overseas are expanding cells. That means that they are putting the cells into a culture medium, put them in incubator, and start to grow them into large numbers. So early research were based on, 1 million mesenchymal stem cells per kilo of body weight. And that had become the standard. That's how people were like, oh, we need to hit that number. Not realizing if you, because all those studies were based on expanded cells. But if you use less cells, probably even 1/10 or 1/6, the amount, you could achieve the same result with less side effect. So, okay, great. You have a lot of cells to go around. That's great. But the problem is when you start to expand the cells in that process, imagine the cells are in this foreign environment in some kind of, dish or container. It's funny, there's somebody else on YouTube said something about the Garden of Eden, that the cells are in the perfect, happy environment. That's wishful thinking. It's not. That you cannot imitate the human body is not a perfect environment. It's actually very stressful for the cells to all of a sudden be in this, environment that being given whatever nutrient that you decide the cell needs. Whereas in the human body, it's very complex, this ecosystem.
Right.
So, okay, so the cells are actually very stressed, evidenced by the fact that they secrete a lot of inflammatory factors
Okay.
and cytokines. So they can become quite inflammatory.
Oh, wow.
And then also, when they're stressed, they don't just grow into perfect, one stem cell become two perfectly identical, two stem cells, and each one keep dividing into two perfect, identical progenies. they actually start to divide into one copy that's exactly the same as themselves. But the other copy is the daughter cell that has gained certain function, because they're trying to gain some function while preserving itself, right? I'm a stem cell. I need to preserve a copy. That's how they divide. They preserve a copy of themselves so they can divide later on. But then they create something that is gaining more function. By gaining more function, you are expressing more proteins. You're expressing more characteristics of what's in the original DNA, surface markers. And those surface markers will be identical to the donor's DNA, the donor's, you know, protein profile. And those are the ones that can cause rejection, right? It's the protein interaction that can cause rejection. The DNA is not going to cause the problem. It's the protein that's expressed by the DNA. So when you start to express these different proteins in the culturing process, when you're growing them into huge numbers, then you got all these new proteins expressed, that's same as the donor. So if you have genetically, you know, some differences, some donors, you may have more differences than other donors, you don't know, and they're not really matching. So they can create a, you know, a more mature population of cells that can lead to rejection. And this is why in these places, I hear it way too often that people are getting what Tony Robbins said was cytokine storm. You're not supposed to get any cytokine storm. They make it sound this is part of what you should expect. That is part of the healing response. It is not. I do not see cytokine storm in my clinic because we do not expand the cells. We use original cells that are really good at adapting to a new host body. It's not adapted to a petri dish. So if you go to grow those cells, then those cells are really fit to grow in a petri dish, and you put it back in the body. They're very different from your body. So they have already expressed all these markers that can cause rejection, and then also these inflammatory factors. So people can get pretty sick. I did a podcast with this veteran. He went over to a Mexico clinic, you know, pretty vetted, you know, was talked about in some major podcasts. So he went over there. And he was in touch with 20 patients that were all there at the same time, and they all kept in touch. Every one of them had the same response, which were extreme fatigue for 2 months. So he said everybody had the same problem, and he just accepted it because he was told that's what you should expect. And he was not to work out, not to do sauna. And I said, that's ludicrous. You need to work out. You need to do what you need to do to improve your body. Don't stop living. You know, you need to act. Your system. So when he got our stem cells, not only was there absolutely no fatigue, he got increased energy, heightened energy. Instead of getting relief from his lung symptoms 2.5 months after the therapy, he got it within 3-4 days after. So this is how different it can be. So people can go there, but they're taking a risk. Some people are getting great response. So I'm not, you know, going to say that it doesn't help people. It helps some people, but there are a lot of unknown factors that people are taking a risk. And also in those countries, the prenatal care is not as strict as what we do in the US. So our donor selection is very, very strict. We actually, you know, we screen for things that are not only mandated by the American Association of Tissue Banks, which is a governing entity for tissue transplantation, not the FDA. So the American Association of Tissue Bank will mandate that you have to screen for all these infectious diseases. So we do those, but we also go above and beyond. We screen for Chagas disease, prion disease, Lyme disease, and COVID. You know, we screen for way above and beyond. And also it's important that for the product that, because I also started a stem cell company because I realized that there's a lot of people are going into this field for the money. You know, the money is always going to be there if you can provide value, right? But there's no for lying and cheating. But that's what I saw a lot in the field. So that's how I thought, well, I guess I'm going to, you know, not just be a doctor. I'm going to try to do this myself if I can ensure the quality of what I'm giving to my patients. That seems to be the way that I have to go about it. So in our product, we do not accept vaccinated donors, so that it's COVID vaccinated, because that's something that I think it's, you know, there's a lot of unknown, and I'm not willing to risk people's, you know, well-being. And also we optimize the mothers. before we actually accept them. So mothers
Wow.
have to get on a diet and exercise regimen, have to take certain supplements. We make sure that our donors are doing everything they can to optimize, you know, what they are, you know, donating, you know,
Wow.
to help people.
Wow, cool. I mean, that was extremely informative, first of all, but then also like good on you for showing up like that. You're like, no, like we're going to provide the best to people. We'll be good if we do that.
Right. It's definitely more work, but you know,
yeah.
But when your heart is in the right place, it doesn't feel like work. You're just driven, you just have to do
that.
Exactly. Otherwise, you know, what about all these people that I'm trying to treat?
Right. Yeah. It's a eustress, not a distress. This means something. This is important.
That's right. It's good for the heart. Yes.
Okay. Well, so quick follow-up question on that with the, if you're, you know, say somebody's like, well, I'm still going to check it out in Mexico or something. A question they might ask is, are these expanded cells? Is that something they could ask a place and find out?
They should, you know,
yeah.
How many generations were they
okay.
expanding it?
Okay.
Definitely, you know, after three, yeah, at four, I definitely stop at four. You're going to get a lot more problems.
Okay.
I've heard someone talking about how they were, they don't have, they get cells from one umbilical cord to treat, I don't know how many people, months for, you know, to treat people for months. That's all they need because they were, I mean, because a lot of these companies were leaving the cells in the culture medium and just letting them grow and grow. And unfortunately they degrade. And a perfect example is that people just can't treat the biological system like a life. They can't treat life as a molecule, right?
Yeah.
Life is way more complex. You can make a drug and keep producing the same molecule. But if you are a cell with a membrane and DNA in it, and you start making copies of themselves, the cells start to blur, you know, their memories and start to make faulty copies. And a perfect example was there was one company that had this bone marrow derived mesenchymal stem cell as a therapy. And they went through all the trials. So they went to phase one, two, three trials. So phase one, they did great. These are fresh young cells. And, you know, they just start multiplying them. They did really good. They got good results. And phase two is like, you know, not didn't show very much, you know, very good results. But they went still, they kept on going forward while using the same group of cells, right? The same group of cells, maybe making more copies of themselves. So they're collecting from the same, you know, same batch. And they think, you know, as if this is a golden batch that's never going to age. And by phase three, it completely failed.
Wow.
It didn't work anymore. Yeah. So
you
can't treat biological systems the same as you treat a simple molecule.
Right. So trying to get carbon copies.
Yeah.
Essentially.
This is one reason the FDA is having such a hard time regulating in the industry because they're not familiar with how to deal with the utilization of life as a healing.
Right.
Food. Yeah.
Right. Wow. Super informative. Okay. Well, speaking of creating your own products, wait, hold on. Where's your center located?
I'm in Los Angeles.
Los Angeles. Okay. And Uplift Center, right? Uplift Longevity Center.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, so we just opened a new location in Beverly Hills, but and I'm also changing the name of the company to Chara Health, and Chara is the Greek word for joy. I have the stem cell company is called Chara Biologics, so it's all about bringing more joy into the world. And if you have more healing, more wellness, you know, then I'm elevating the happiness factor.
Absolutely. Okay. Speaking of upping the happiness factor with your products. So, by the way, I was on Joy's podcast, so you guys can check that out if you want. And when I did, you were like, oh, let me send you some of my product. And I was like, okay, thank you so much. I just really didn't, you know, wasn't expecting much. I mean, I wasn't expecting much. I just, you know, I didn't like deep dive on you yet because you hadn't come on my show. I was like, oh, thanks, girl. You know, and I put this stem cell cream on my face before bed. And I woke up like, what? I was like, what? Like my skin looks so good. Like, so wow, super noticeable. And then I kept using it and it kept happening every time. I was like, Girl, your product is like good. Like, holy crap, this is the best skincare product I've ever used. I am not kidding or exaggerating at all. Like, I mean, times 100.
Oh,
Okay.
thank you so
Seriously.
much.
Yeah.
I love hearing that. Yeah, it nourishes your skin like all day or all night long. So you do it twice a day, morning and night. And the reason I developed it is funny. I was not in the business of going into aesthetics and developing skin creams. Here, I wanted to give people something to heal them, right? Or make them stay young by invigorating their entire organ system and, their full body. I wasn't thinking about the face, but I wanted my face to look good. So I kept, checking out, different products. But I also, because I'm in anti-aging medicine, I'm fully educated on just how toxic our world is and how much detriment it causes in our health, gut, our hormone balance. So I thought, I need something that's really clean. The skin is the most absorbent organ. I am not willing to put something every day on my face that's going to hurt me. And so I was searching for the For a product that's all natural, right? At least no synthetic petroleum products that's going to hurt. And what's funny was even when I was buying really expensive Korean product, and I trusted it because it's all natural. And then when I flipped over the bottle, I realized there were all these ingredients that were not natural. They were synthetic. So it was really upsetting. And then I realized, oh, I have access to stem cells that not many people have. And then I also know about all these incredible peptides that all these new research coming up. So why don't I create a product that's really fantastic, that's pure, that's natural, that's not going to hurt anybody, but to enhance, the health of the skin. So that's how I created the product. So I put not only different peptides and then stem cells and amniotic matrix, but also all these natural herbal extracts. It's really exciting. I l love the different kinds of herbs because they're like a little pharmacy, right? One herb, so many little molecules that can have different functions. So bringing those herbal extracts in, and then some natural oils, and then they're very powerful. The oils are very powerful, and then some antioxidants and prebiotics. So there I have this powerful, clean product that I'm happy to put on my face any time of the day. I put it everywhere. I mean, just anytime. And you can put it on your face even before you do microneedling, which is fantastic because then you're driving the cream even deeper into the skin because of how safe, how clean they are. So then, yeah, I ended up creating the product for
I love to hear this story. I'm like, girl, you're gonna win an award. Have you won an award for that stuff yet? It's
Oh, not
amazing. It's
yet.
insane. So I'm serious. Like I was waiting for this episode to come out before I like really tell my sisters, like, or guys too, obviously. I mean, anybody,
Oh,
but
guys love the
obviously,
product too.
women are kind of more on that train more often, but it's insane. Like I can't, I'm like, I think I'm a lifetime customer now, seriously.
Oh,
So,
that's wonderful.
and I at Joy offered also you guys like a discount, and I noticed that you're offering subscribe and save and even letting people use a coupon, which is super generous. Like no one ever does that. So thank you for that. So we'll link that up, you guys, and it's Coach Tara and is the coupon code, and it's Chara Omni. It's unreal. Like if you're gonna invest in any sort of skincare, because I noticed I was looking at some of your little videos on your website about it. And you're like, I just want like one product, not like 12, which is
Exactly.
so
Because
me
every time
too.
I buy a skincare product, it's like I have to buy five. I was like, why can't I just put everything into one? So I put the incredible ingredients, right? You can't be more potent than stem cell, a stem cell solution. So the cells are not alive. I don't want to misrepresent. The cells are not alive, but the regenerative components in the umbilical cord stem cells are all there. So you can't get a serum that's more powerful than that. But we have ingredients in it that helps penetrate your skin deeply to deliver these ingredients. That's why you don't need a toner, to before the serum. So you don't need a separate toner, a separate serum. You don't need eye cream. A lot of companies produce eye cream because your eyes are super sensitive. So they take out some of the toxic ingredients, give you a
Makes
tiny little
sense.
amount, and sell it for $100, right? So you can put on. You don't need to do that. This cream is good for everything and put it everywhere. Yeah, and day and night. So I just like simplicity.
Yeah. Well, I mean, just using it like was the selling point for me. I was like, what is going on? I ran out. I'm getting more. It's coming. But I'm like, holy crap, this is insane. What, girl? I like message you. I'm like, that stuff's insane. You're like, thanks.
Oh,
So,
yeah, I
yeah.
just love hearing that. Yeah, we have people who are, aestheticians who have seen everything, who tried all kinds of products, and then they absolutely were just blown away by
Yeah.
Jarami. Yeah.
Yeah, it's good. It's good. You really stumbled across something big there, I think. So, all right. Thank you so much, Joy. So like directing people, we'll direct them to, first of all, your YouTube channel, your social medias. Is it it's Joy Doctor underscore Joy underscore Kong on Instagram,
Right. Yeah.
right?
And then
Or
they can
DR.
always, yeah, they can always reach me just at drjoycon.com.
Okay.
Yeah. So they can, yeah, easily get in touch with me. But YouTube is a great place because I always respond to comments. I want to stay very connected to my audience, and I put out podcasts and then,
Yeah.
videos, educational videos, some of my public lectures. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
Yeah.
it's helpful because a lot of there are various new subjects that comes up about stem cells, and then I was like, okay, I better do a video on that. No one's
Yeah.
talking about that, but I'm getting way too many questions. Let me just record this.
Yeah, you are like the most amazing resource for anything stem cells. Like I remember I was like, "Well, why don't we I know you can talk about a lot of stuff, but why don't you talk about stem cells?" And you were like, "Oh yeah, I could talk about that all day long, you know."
I can't
So
stop. Once I start,
if
I have to hold back. It's like, okay.
Yeah, you are like the resource for sure on stem cells. So make sure you follow her so you can just stay up to date. And as you guys have seen throughout this episode, you're very to the point. You got data to back it up. You got experience to back it up. Like you are such a great resource on this topic. So thank you so much for coming on and sharing with us today. Appreciate
You
you.
for inviting me. You're such a fun host. I love your energy. Yeah, I really appreciate
Thanks.
the interview.
Thanks. Likewise.
Hey, thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Inside Out Health Podcast. I hope this episode served as inspiration and something that you needed to hear in your life. If you have a friend or family member that you think would benefit from this episode, please share it with them. And also, please subscribe. I have so many more amazing guests coming. I have just been so gifted and honored to meet so many incredible health professionals in my career, and I cannot wait to share their messages with you guys. So please subscribe. And if you could be so kind as to rate my show, I would really appreciate it. This podcast is honestly an intuitive call to me to help spread goodness to the world. And so if you guys can help me do that, I would really appreciate it. If you want more info on this guest, pop over to my website, check out my podcast section, and you can get links to everything we talked about in the show and find out more about this guest and where you can go from here. Make sure you're also following me on Instagram. That is my most active platform. You can find me at Coach Tara Garrison. You can also find me on YouTube, LinkedIn, Twitter. Everything is Coach Tara Garrison across the board. And then, yeah, if you want to send me a message, guys, and let me know other guests or other topics you want to hear on the show, please let me know. I am here to serve you. So would love to hear from you. Would love your feedback on the show. And if you share any of these episodes, please tag me on social media. It's Coach Tara Garrison.